Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. We talk about ideas and strategies, I share blueprints, I tell stories, I share some of my big epic fails that I've made along the way, because ultimately I truly believe that teachers play a vital role in helping students reach their creative potential. And one of the topics we often get into is project-based learning. And that's actually what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to talk about this idea of what it means and looks like to be proactive about classroom management when we are designing our PBL units. And I just want to start out by saying it will never be perfect. There is no instruction manual to this. There's no perfect right way to do it, because guess what? We teach, messy humans in a messy world. And because of that, it's going to be a little bit messy. A quick disclaimer, I made huge mistakes involving classroom management as a teacher. I let certain disruptive behaviors go unchecked because I was tired or because I was trying to put out another fire. I had moments where I, shamed a student or yelled at a class, and I always, every single time, apologized and continued to grow. And so I want to share the notion that so much of this comes from trial and error. So much of this comes from my own imperfection, my own mistakes, and the lessons I've learned along the way. So when I first began my PBL journey, I assumed that authentic PBL had to include controlled chaos. And I heard this everywhere. I heard it in conferences. I read it in the literature. There was just this notion that if you do project-based learning, it's going to be chaotic. So I loosened up my expectations, like a lot loosened up. No more rules about noise, right? That was gone, because learning should be loud. Scrap any restrictions on movement. I wanted students to have the freedom to get up and grab supplies or materials throughout the class period whenever they wanted it. Now, I didn't announce these changes. I just subtly adjusted my expectations and assumed things would go smoothly. But on the first day, students began wandering away from their groups. Smaller circles gathered and talked about their favorite TV shows or music or video games. And it's not that that was necessarily wrong. Like, we need some permission to just talk about things that are off topic, but that became the whole class period for them. Meanwhile, the noise volume crept from fairly quiet to loud to ear-splittingly loud. And I felt anxious. Now, personally, I've never thrived in loud or chaotic environments. I find it hard to focus with too much noise or distraction. I can do concerts or sporting events, but I can't do something like Black Friday shopping. I don't like the chaos and commotion. I don't like big parties. I am an introvert to my core. Still, I pressed on. I wanted to show that my class could be authentic. I wanted it to be real PBL, and it felt like it would be, well, too schoolish and inauthentic and artificial if I put a stop to the noise or the movement. But then at one point, a teacher walked into my classroom and said, "Why did you kick Alejandro out of class? He's normally so quiet." But the thing is, I hadn't kicked Alejandro out of class. He'd walked away from the noise and the chaos, and he was out there reading a book. And when I walked outside, he said, I'll still get my work done, but I decided to put myself in timeout. My group is okay with it, I swear." "That's fine. If you need to take a breather, go ahead, take a timeout. Just let me know ahead of time," I told him. When I stepped back inside of the classroom, a student came up to me and asked if he could also go outside and work away from his group. "Won't they miss you?" I asked. "I don't think they really notice me. They're all talking over each other, and I can't really hear them right now." "Go ahead and go to the hallway," I answered. But then another student went to the hallway, and another. And suddenly I had 10 students sitting quietly outside, all separated out wearing their headphones. And I assumed at the moment that they probably weren't doing work, but to my surprise, they were dialed in to their group projects. Even the student who felt invisible in his group was suddenly a participating member again. He was communicating via the chat function in Gmail. He had taken himself out of timeout, and he was Alejandro the contributor instead of quiet Alejandro away from his group. Now, I had assumed there was something wrong with me as an individual. There was something wrong with me for preferring quiet. But as I stood out in the hallway, I saw myself in so many of those students. In many cases, they were the introverts who needed quiet in order to have some thinking space to just get work on their projects. They weren't opposed to collaboration, but they needed a space that honored their identity and gave them a chance to just think quietly. Other students with social anxiety or with sensory issues felt overwhelmed by the overstimulation and the noise of the chaotic classroom. It was in this moment that I decided to ask for student feedback. I printed up a quick survey. These were the pre-Google Form days, if you can imagine that, to see how students felt about the classroom environment. And to my surprise, two-thirds of them described having a hard time concentrating on their work. Some students, on the other hand, loved the chaos, but many more of them hated it. And for me, it's a reminder that authentic PBL doesn't have to equal chaos. The next morning, I had coffee with my mentor and I lamented. I thought this project was authentic. I thought I could create a student-centered environment. I thought that they would just know how to behave. But I don't know, maybe I'm not able to create that kind of environment. He furrowed his eyebrows and said, "You ever work on a project at Starbucks?" I nodded. "Okay, watch the people in Starbucks right now. What trends do you see?" I described people sitting at the tables and occasionally standing up at this tall wall that they had. It was a big table right up against the wall. They moved to get coffee, to use the restroom, to order items, to stretch, but they weren't running around. They weren't chasing anyone. They weren't throwing things. Instead, it was a relaxed environment. Yes, there was movement and there was noise, but I wouldn't call this chaos. Although the environment was noisy, most of the noise was due to the grinding of coffee or the blending of beverages. Most people were talking at a reasonable volume. They followed unspoken norms that allowed them to communicate and to work openly and freely, but in a way that would still respect the people around them. My mentor then challenged me to think of all the spaces where I had done my best individual and collaborative projects. These were spaces designed for communication and deep thinking and deep work. Some of these spaces were silent, some of them were loud, but they were all spaces where I had this ability to focus. And I realized something at that moment. If we want to have students engage in authentic projects, we need to design systems and structures that facilitate collaboration and creativity. And this doesn't have to be chaos. For all the talk of embracing chaos, it turns out that classroom management is a vital part of authentic PBL. Some of this involves the space that we have, which I just described, and some of this involves the rules and the structures and the systems that we have, but it's all part of the larger ecosystem that is classroom management. As I drove home, I realized that I had bought into some significant myths about PBL and classroom management. It's an idea that I explore in a different podcast and article. You can find it if you're, you know, interested. It's in the show notes. But I had always seen structure as sort of the enemy of authenticity. But right now, in this moment, I was realizing that structure was vital for creative work. I had believed that an engaging project would mean that I never had to think about classroom management. But I soon learned that authentic projects often lead to a different set of classroom management challenges. And we as teachers need to be proactive and intentional about how we address these challenges. And so if we think about it, there are a few changes that I made. Number one, I changed my lesson plan design, right? So this is the way I was designing my lessons. I started to build in individual processing time. I started to build in design structures that would lead to interdependence. And what this did is this allowed students to have a chance to process information individually. Now, if this seems confusing, I'll kind of explain what I mean. When students brainstorm, instead of just yelling all their ideas out at one another, what I changed to was a system where students could brainstorm individually first, and then as a group, they would use a structure, a round robin structure, where each one of them would contribute new ideas, and then together they would negotiate these ideas. So I created structure that would build interdependence, right? So they're depending on each other, but it would also allow for that individual processing time. What I found almost immediately is that ELL students, students with social anxiety, introverts, they all benefited from this additional think time. I also set up supports for ELL students and exceptional learners, and I made all of these supports, whether it was graphic organizers, tutorials, anchor charts, small group workshops, front-loading vocabulary, sentence stems, visuals, any of these things, I made these things universally accessible to all students. So I took what's called a Universal Design for Learning, or UDL, approach. And then every student had access to those scaffolds. And that was really helpful because some of the behavior I had seen of students wandering around, students disengaging, it really came from the fact that I hadn't been providing those scaffolds. And now every student had access to necessary scaffold. Number two, I differentiated my classroom space. So just like this idea of Starbucks, I began to rethink the classroom space. I, for example, set the volume level at a reasonable level, but I allowed students to have headphones on when they were working individually inside their group projects so that they could have this opportunity to listen to music, which might be a little louder, or have noise cancellation headphones on so it could be quieter. And all of this was this idea of differentiating the soundscape of the classroom. I also created spaces where students could work at tables, but also individually. So some individual desks where students who wanted to be individual could work. I created some standing centers where we took bookshelves, really sturdy metal bookshelves that could not tip over, I want to be very clear, and made those standing centers where any student could stand up and work on the peripheral of the classroom if they want to. And this differentiation of space was critical for allowing every student to thrive and feel that freedom to be and to work in a way that fit their identity during different student projects. Number three, I created a set of norms and procedures that would be different for PBL than for a more traditional lesson plan. So I formed a student leadership team and they helped come up with the classroom norms. We negotiated the norms together as a group as well, as a whole class. And then also students in small groups created expectations and commitments and norms together that they used. I also designed new procedures where I specifically thought through all of the procedures from getting and storing materials to, how you turn things in to how you get the teacher's attention. All of those things changed in terms of the procedures that students did as they worked in a PBL unit. Number four, I focused on the small group elements of classroom management. So I've already mentioned having group norms, expectations, but also empowering them to own the project management process, having them have very specific student roles within the groups and asking, what kinds of roles will groups have? What kind of roles will individual students have in their groups? But also, what will my role be during project-based learning? You know, how does my role change as I shift to being more of a facilitator? I also had students engage in or use a conflict resolution process. And this really helped with some of the bigger classroom management issues that had occurred because groups simply weren't getting along. Now, I mentioned those four different things because I really believe that classroom management can be easier in a PBL classroom. With increased engagement and clear expectations, you often find yourself doing things like student-teacher conferences, targeted help, small groups, rather than, you know, redirecting misbehavior. And when this happens, it's awesome. You just watch the students engage in that meaningful collaboration and creativity as they work through those epic projects you've designed for them. But again, I want to point out that you will run into some significant challenges. Humans are messy, and when we work collaboratively, we will experience more conflict. Also, this increased freedom that happens in a PBL classroom means students might have kind of a learning curve in terms of how to self-regulate with more autonomy. But this is why it's really important that you think strategically about classroom management. If you're interested, I have included in the blog post that goes with this podcast a PBL classroom management planning document. I walk you step by step through these guiding questions as you design your plan to be intentional about classroom management. And so the goal is to really think strategically, intentionally, proactively about classroom management. Again, it will never be perfect. And there is no, you know, instruction manual on how to do it the right way. But I will say this, the more we can think proactively and intentionally about classroom management, the better our systems will be, which in the long run will allow students to thrive doing project-based learning. Hey there, thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a huge favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcast? And would you maybe recommend it to a colleague? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And go out and make something awesome.